The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hunter Biden has been indicted on gun charges. But does this mean the walls are closing in on the Bidens, as the Democrats used to say about Trump? Not so fast. Now, a grand jury delivered the indictment Thursday U.S. time against President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, over allegations he unlawfully owned a gun while addicted to drugs. That's a big no-no. The indictment, brought by special counsel David Weiss, included three charges against Hunter Biden related to gun possession. And now, on one level, it might look like the special counsel has gone hard here. He's hit Hunter with not one, but three charges. But keep this in mind. Of all the crimes and misdemeanors that Hunter stands credibly accused of, you know, the tax business, the funny money, the foreign agent registration charges, gun possession and lying that he wasn't on drugs when he applied for a gun license is the only thing that does not have the potential, if investigated further, to trace back to his dad.
The big issue is whether or not there will be further investigations of Burisma, of the alleged meetings that occurred, breakfasts, etc., and things that do implicate the president.
Look, I'm just wondering, Alan, if this is an opportunity for the DOJ to make it look like it's impartial. We've had four indictments against Donald Trump, some of which are quite questionable. And a lot of people have said that's, you know, political persecution and this is all politics. Donald Trump keeps rising in the ratings in terms of the polls. And yet, you know, this indictment doesn't even mention what the House Oversight Committee has been working on. And that's all of those business transactions, 20 shell companies, which received $20 million from countries like China, Romania, Ukraine.
These are the few charges that can't be tied to the big guy, 10% Joe. It'll be interesting. We had Greg Jarrett on earlier saying he doesn't see a very vigorous prosecution of this, but it's an opportunity for the White House and for the Justice Department to say, oh, we're going after Hunter too. We're being fair here.
Isn't it laughable that I think it was just 7 weeks ago when they went into court, they had the plea deal in place. The DOJ's position was that, okay, he's got this gun thing, but we can make that go away. And also these other charges, we've agreed to this, this, and this, but he's going to go off scot-free. And then the judge, of course, the judge blew it up and said, this is ridiculous. You can't do this. So the plea deal's off. Now the DOJ is hard and fast. Yeah, this is a gun crime. It's a gun crime. It's a distraction. It's a massive distraction away from the crimes of the Biden crime family. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the final show of what's been a very, very busy week. Of course, you can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com. You can watch it live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. Don't forget about our Rumble channel, the Trumpet Daily. You can get in on the live chat every day. You can leave some comments. And of course, as always, you're going to give us that thumbs up Rumble. So that's over at the Rumble channel. We have the replay of this show every evening on another channel at Rumble. That's LFA TV. Just go to Live From America TV and you can watch every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Central Time Zone. I think on Friday evenings, it's actually an hour earlier. Maybe you can check it out this evening. In any event, 5 years of all the crimes that implicate the big guy, assuming Joe Biden is the big guy, of all the crimes that would implicate the brother, Jim Biden, James, and all the others receiving millions and millions and millions. And here the House inquiry into impeachment. They're getting closer and closer to the bank records. closer and closer to the 5,400 emails coming from the alias accounts. And now Weiss basically had no choice. Once the judge blew it up, she saw right through it. This is not fair. This is not a plea deal. This is a get out of jail free card. So she blows it up, and now the DOJ had no choice. But then the timing, as always, with David Weiss and Merrick Garland and company, of course, the dear leader, looming large behind the scenes. As always, it's timed just perfectly to distract you away from the really important news. You hope there's some Republicans in the House that have a backbone to see this through to the end, as I told you yesterday. I mean, McCarthy, he's already looking like he's kind of back and forth. He did have some pretty good pushback against the regime media yesterday. This woman that couldn't even admit Joe Biden lied. Well, I'm not going to say that. Would you admit that he lied to the American people when he said he had no knowledge, knew nothing about Hunter's business dealings? And this reporter, she fancies herself as a reporter. She actually said, well, I can't comment on that. I mean, if this has to do with Joe Biden lying, I'm not going to take a position on that. At least McCarthy pushed back a little bit on that. And then, of course, you have the others in the regime media that are out there, as I said yesterday, making Hunter out to be this victim, I guess. This is Jen Psaki. Of course, she used to work as the White House press spokesman for Joe Biden. Now she's an objective reporter, don't you know? This is clip 3.
You know, millions of Americans have dealt with family members who have dealt with drug addiction, who've dealt with alcohol addiction, who have dealt with a range of addiction. My bet is right now this is a heartbroken president in the White House who is worried about his son.
Yeah, they're all worried about each other. They love each other. It's a tight-knit family, as we were covering yesterday. He went out and illegally purchased a firearm while he was addicted to crack. That, like the commentator from Australia said, that's a big no-no. It's a pretty clear-cut case. This is really, in a hopefully not in a weird way, it's fascinating here because Hunter knows everything. And we keep hearing them say they're a close and loving and tight-knit family. Why did he go and just leave his laptop at this shop for months and months? And the shop owner says, hey, you got your computer here, and Hunter wouldn't pick it up. Why does Ashley Biden just leave her journal, but her diary behind? It makes you wonder just how close the family really and truly is. All the shenanigans going on in between Hunter and the sister-in-law after Beau dies. This is not your typical traditional American family. Far from it. Never mind what the talking heads have to say. That said, they're all interested in covering their tracks, the crimes that they've committed. But you think Hunter's going to go down alone? Of course, from Weiss's standpoint, Garland, same thing. The dear leader, it certainly looks as though they've about gone as far as they can go with Joe Biden, with this fake president. But as to how the fake president operates, while Hunter's going through this, while he's trying to save his presidency, I mean, forget about running for a second term. He's trying to get through the first term. They know what the House managers or the House investigative committee is going to turn up. Once this impeachment proceeding gets going, as I say, you just hope there's a few that have a backbone to see it through, to get to the truth. This is from Dan. You would expect this from, again, the left-wing communist hack. He's now the new Adam Schiff of the Democrat Party in Congress. Clip 1.
I've never heard of this charge being brought. I understand it is occasionally brought here and there. But in the discretion, you know, I was in the Southern District of New York. We looked for felons who were in possession of guns. We did not look for people who were subject to substance abuse for 11 days in the possession of a gun. So this is unusual. And when you hear of the two-tiered justice system, I would argue that Hunter Biden is getting worse of the worst of it because his last name is Biden, not the other way around.
Right. I heard another one just this morning talk about Donald Trump going on and on about threatening indictments. And of course, this the head exploded on this guy because how could that's Adolf Hitler stuff to even talk about possibly indicting someone on the other side? And meanwhile, their side indicts. I mean, there's four of them, 91 felony counts. And of all the things, the prostitution rings, the addictions, I mean, just everything's out there on video. And it was there, by the way, it takes David Weiss, this left-wing hack working for Merrick Garland, it takes him 5 years to get a simple, straightforward, bought a gun when I was addicted to crack, it's illegal. So finally, and this comes, as I say, it comes 7 weeks after the DOJ waltzed into court and said, you know, Your Honor, we feel like he should get off scot-free for this. So what are they planning? What's the purpose of this? You know it's not meant to get to the truth. Of all the things that Hunter and Joe and Jim and the relatives have gotten away with, selling all that influence, selling the Biden family name, Politico knew about it in 2019, as I covered yesterday. There's another article from Issues and Insights, same year, 2019. This was before he became the Democrat nominee. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. And yet you listen to them today go on and on about no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. And now even with the gun crime, Goldman and others are out there. There was another clip I saw just before going to air. Yeah, this is highly unusual. Never happens. Never happens. It's going to be interesting to see Hunter's defense probably get up there in this lawsuit and claim that, well, hey, he has Second Amendment rights, even if he's on crack. I mean, that's a Second Amendment. He should be able to own a gun. That's going to be rich to hear these people all of a sudden defending the Second Amendment. What a circus. Andy McCarthy. According to the whistleblower agents, Weiss told them a story about how he really wanted to file charges against Hunter, but was being blocked by Biden-appointed U.S. attorneys in L.A. and Washington. It says, there are no Biden-appointed U.S. attorneys to blame for Weiss's failure for 5 years to file the indictment that was finally returned on Thursday. As the statute of limitations was on the precipice of expiring, it was Weiss and Weiss alone who delayed bringing one of the most straightforward felony gun charges you'll ever see. Weiss wasn't being blocked. He was stalling. And it started with Bill Barr back in 2019. He was the AG at the time. He had Hunter's laptop. He had all this information. He sat on it. Weiss was sitting on it. They had the plea deal in place. For whatever reason, it blew up in their faces. You have to wonder if God was behind that. As I've been saying all week, I mean, he's been exposing them in his own special way. He's been blowing the lid off this corruption. And now there's quite a few of them. I mean, even the Dear Leader, they're in kind of a bind right now. Those indictments against Trump, those have blown up in their faces too, at least to some degree. It'll still play out, I suppose, but Trump got a pretty big victory yesterday in Fulton County. As Fannie Willis wanted to just lump all 19 of them. Yeah, she fired the shotgun. 19 indictments. Let's get them all together in court. Let's start the case next month. Let's not give Donald Trump's attorneys or any of them any time to plan or prepare for this. And the judge said, hang on a second. Let's put on the brakes. We're going to separate these cases out and give people some time to get ready for these cases. Huge victory for Donald Trump's legal team. But coming back to this McCarthy piece, it says here, 7 weeks ago, the Biden Justice Department told a judge that there should be no prosecution at all of the gun case and no prison time in connection with any charge against Hunter Biden. So it's rich for the same Justice Department to put out a statement in connection with today's indictment, stressing that Hunter's facing up to 25 years imprisonment. See, they had to do it. They pretty much had to. Now they sound all tough. Yeah, he committed a crime. This could be 25 years. It says the only case Weiss has brought is one that is one Hunter Biden case in which Joe Biden had no involvement. That's why they chose this one. Forget about the tax evasion. Forget about the money laundering. Forget about the bribery schemes. Forget about the prostitution rings. Forget about the crossing state lines. Forget about all the narcotics use. Flaunting it. I mean, just putting it out there for everyone to see. Tax charges, for example, that could have been brought against Hunter derived from millions of dollars in foreign payments to buy Joe Biden's political influence. Yeah, what about the FARA charges? F-A-R-A. He wasn't registered as a foreign agent. He wasn't registered to even take in those millions, assuming it was legit and above board. That's how they got Manafort and all those guys. It says here, because of the way Weiss willfully dawdled, tax offenses deriving from Joe Biden's time as Obama administration vice president are now time barred. The salient point, the 6-year statute of limitations on possible tax crimes and the 5-year statute of limitation on possible bribery, money laundering, and failure to register as a foreign agent felonies are still running. See, they're trying to run out the clock. Well, let's get the gun charge. That, I mean, Joe Biden is in no way related to that. So let's get the gun charge, and then let's just keep investigating. Just let the investigation go on for another couple years, and the clock can run out on these other charges. You see why the House has to do something. It says the statute of limitations is make or break in criminal prosecutions. It's irrelevant to political accountability. Regardless of today's indictment, the critical investigation right now is the one being run by the House of Representatives. So along comes the well-timed distraction. They know. The dear leader knows. Joe Biden and his White House, the fake one, they know how serious the House impeachment proceeding is, or could be, because they'll turn up evidence that shows that these people are traitors. They're sellouts. They've sold their country down the river. And they've cashed in on it to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. It says here, well, I finished that. I mentioned Kevin McCarthy pushing back against the regime reporter that couldn't bring herself to admit that Joe Biden lied to the American people. And so McCarthy just brings a few receipts and shoves it right back at her. Clip 4.
Do you believe the president lied to the American public when he said he'd never talked to his son about business dealings? Yes or no? It's all right.
I can't answer that.
You can't answer that? Do you believe when they said the president went on conference calls? Do you believe that happened?
That's what the testimony says.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you believe the president went to Cafe Milano and had dinner with the clients of Hunter Biden, who believes he got those clients because he was selling the brand?
That's what the testimony
okay.
said.
Okay. Do you believe Hunter Biden, when you saw the video of him driving a Porsche, that he got $143,000 to buy that Porsche the next day? Do you believe the $3 million from the Russian oligarch that was transferred to the shell companies that the Bidens controlled after the dinner from Cafe Milano took place?
For the testimony.
Okay, then I go back. Do you think the president lied that he...
When but he is said, that an impeachable? Is lying an impeachable?
Well, you want...
55 seconds earlier. Exactly. She said that I can't answer that. Do you believe he lied to the American people? Well, I can't answer that. I mean, I'm a reporter. I'm just trying to get to the truth here. And then he brings up 4 or 5 examples. Do you believe he was here? He was with the business associate, Cafe Milano. All of these instances proving that proving demonstrably that he lied to the American people. And then her pushback at the end is, well, but I mean, is lying an impeachable offense? These people that set traps, that try to confuse you into lying, so that they can destroy you, see General Mike Flynn, that keep lying meters going all through the Trump presidency, Now, all of a sudden, well, you know, okay, it's lying, but it's not impeachable. It's amazing. It's amazing how they change their tune. Now, all of a sudden, impeachment, as far as these radical leftists are concerned, impeachment's a distraction. You know, it's too hard on the American people. It's very, very rare. You know, they're, I mean, the high crime and the misdemeanor, that's a very, very high bar. It's especially rich hearing that come from all of these people, these same people who in 2019 and 2021 were quite willing to impeach Donald Trump for nothing. Absolutely nothing. A phone call. Kimberly Strassel, she says, House Republicans are embroiled in an internal debate over the politics of launching an official impeachment inquiry to learn more about Joe Biden and his son Hunter's financial misdeeds. The better question isn't whether they should, but why is it likely necessary? Why engage in an impeachment inquiry? Without it, the country may never get the truth. Jim Comer's group, I mean, they've gone just about as far as they can go. And they've seen the financial transactions, but they need to get to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's bank accounts and see where this money was transferred and see whether or not any of it went to the big guy. Because if it did, it's lights out. It'd be lights out already if the regime media was honest and objective and was actually interested in exposing corruption on both sides. But they're so corrupt. They're so committed to promoting propaganda. Do you believe he lied to the American people? I can't answer that. Well, but is lying impeachable, though? That's her pushback. It's just stunning. And meanwhile, the country goes up in flames. Even the New York Times. Politicians charge millions to send migrants to U.S. through Darien Gap. This is from the New York Times, talking about the wide open border. You want to blame it all on the cartels? They're certainly involved. They're certainly the police or the military at the northern border of Mexico. They're the ones engaging in all the human trafficking, for sure, the drugs, everything else. But listen to this from the New York Times. It says hundreds of thousands of migrants are now pouring through the sliver of jungle known as the Darien Gap, the only land route to the U.S. from South America, in a record tide that the Biden administration and the Colombian government have vowed to stop. So they say all the right things, right? It says, but the windfall here at the edge of the continent is simply too big to pass up, and the entrepreneurs behind the migrant gold rush are not underground smugglers hiding from the authorities. They're politicians, prominent businessmen, elected leaders, now sending thousands of migrants toward the U.S. in plain sight each day and charging millions of dollars a month for the privilege. It's the ruling class down in Central and South America. And the New York Times is acknowledging it. Finally. You know why? Because a lot of these migrants are ending up in Manhattan. They're in New York City. They're getting a little too close to these people who live in a bubble. They're seeing their city ruined because of this overflow of illegal immigration. Think of it, not just the smugglers, not just the low-level human traffickers, not even just the cartels, but prominent politicians getting behind it because it's so lucrative. And it's destroying the United States. I mentioned that piece in the Washington Post, David Ignatius, how sickening it was to hear the roundtable on Morning Joe this morning talk about how distinguished and reputable David Ignatius is. I mean, if he says it, I don't think Scarborough quite agreed. He went on and on about how Joe Biden is still, he's just doing a tremendous job. He knows his foreign policy. He's up late at nights. Right, got it. He's up late at night doing the work of being president when he's in the Oval Office. 40% of the time he's on vacation, but let that go. But David Ignatius, he was like a central figure in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. He was in large part responsible for amplifying that bogus, dirty dossier back in 2016 and 17. Now he comes along and he says, it hurts me to say this because he's been such an effective president, but I don't think that Joe Biden should run for a second term. And they were talking this morning about how that you know, that carries some weight because, well, he's David Ignatius. But as I say, Joe Scarborough did intervene to speak about the brilliance of Joe Biden. Listen to this, number two.
What he's done in NATO, the way he's maneuvered NATO, making us first among equals. So he's not talking down to anybody, but he's the leader that NATO is looking to. He's the guy that made sure we did the deal with Turkey that allowed Finland and Sweden to come into NATO. We have 600 new miles of border along Russia's border.
All right, Joe's big on border security when it comes to Eastern Europe. When it comes to Ukraine, I mean, send the billions. Send more than 100 billion. Let's shore up the border of Ukraine against Russia. But then open it up wide for everyone, not just Central and South America. They're coming from all over the world. It's a lucrative business. Even the elites, the ruling class in Central and South America are getting in on the action. Send them to America. Send them up to the gringos. They'll take them in. And they're coming in by the tens of millions. I should have brought the other part of that quote where he said, you know, in this century, there have been some. He's talking about the 21st century. The presidents of the 21st century. So you only have, you know, Bush and the dear leader and then Trump. And now Joseph Biden, and he was talking about, you know, some presidents in this century, they, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock comes and they're out of the office and upstairs watching ESPN. Well, who's he talking about? He can't be talking about the dear leader, although that's what the dear leader did. He's probably talking about George Bush or maybe Trump. Trump, he outworked all of them. And he's trying to suggest that Joseph Robinette Biden is somehow working deep into the night. I mean, some days it's 9:30 and they put a lid on it. 9:30 in the morning, I mean. Listen to him yesterday in his speech about who knows what. This is clip 5.
MAGA Republicans in Congress also trying to undo the progress we made to make getting, you know, look. What I was able to do in what they call the G7 among the NATO countries and European countries, we've seen record lows in unemployment, particularly, and I've focused on this my whole career, particularly for African Americans and Hispanic workers and veterans. You know, the workers without high school diplomas. And I'm going to get those gas prices down again, I promise you. We've climbed out of our great economic crisis. It's beginning to work for working people. You're going to pay somewhere between 20 and 40% less in those other countries. Same exact drug made by the same exact company.
The man should be resting permanently in Delaware or wherever. And how conflicted he must be on the inside. And then to think about his immediate family, his wife. You know, they've got to stay the course to keep covering the tracks. Like I say, there's quite a few people in this circle, this crime syndicate, that are really between a rock and a hard place now because evidence is finally pouring forth. They're finally getting to the truth, some of these investigators. There should be more of them. But there he is going on, and he wants another 4 years. And Joe Scarborough, he's trying to tell you, ignore your eyes, what you see, and just believe me, this is the best president of the 21st century. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are buying that. This is the most corrupt that we've seen, I guess, maybe as I said the other day, right underneath the dear leader. The dear leader's been able to get by with his smooth talk and the fact that people like even Newt Gingrich, as I covered yesterday, gave him a pass because of the swooning, because of what everyone was saying about how that, hey, he's the first black president. He's going to heal the racial divide in the country. And he did exactly the opposite. That article I went through with you yesterday, Gingrich wrote it at the American Spectator. He said, we're in the deepest, most dangerous constitutional crisis since the 1850s. And then when talking about what Barack Obama did to spy on Donald Trump, he said it was on the verge of treason. It is treason. It was treason. And more and more people are now saying that. We've had them right here in this studio, General Flynn. Carrie Lake said it in her book, Unafraid. More and more are coming out. This is where I left off with yesterday. It says, Obama's first job in Chicago was an Alinsky institution. He learned how to be a neighborhood organizer from the Alinsky disciple. This was so alien to our way of thinking that in 2008, only Sean Hannity understood how deeply radical Obama was, as I told you yesterday. Yes, Sean Hannity has a bigger platform than we do. Yes, more people. And he did do a good job for as much of a rhino as he is today. I mean, he did really try to expose the truth to vet Barack Obama back in 2008. But he wasn't the only one sounding the alarm. I've got some quotes here from 2008, from our own material. This, by the way, I told you about this yesterday. This is the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. Who is running the show? Who's actually running the show? I played you that clip from Sky News yesterday where, as the guy said, more and more people, they're acknowledging that it's Barack Obama, just like he told the funny man at the end of 2016. You know, I've always kind of fancied myself as running a third term from the basement, you know, with the little earpiece in, a microphone, just kind of guiding the little puppet. It's happening. It's happening. That's the latest, the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. The subscription to the Trumpet magazine, it's offered without cost or obligation. You can get a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet. But as I say, more and more commentators are picking up on the fact that what we're witnessing, what we have witnessed the last 7-8 years, it's a coup. It's an insurrection. The other day I asked Carrie Lake, or told her first about what General Flynn said with respect to the official launch date of the Obama coup to overthrow the Trump presidency before it even got started. The official launch date was January 5th, 2017, and you fast forward all the way through to today, and as General Flynn said a few weeks ago, we're still in the throes of a coup. Listen to this clip, clip 8.
We had General Michael Flynn here 3 weeks ago, and he said that he felt like on January 5th, 2017, you know, 2 weeks before Donald Trump's inaugurated, that that's when the official start date of the coup against Donald Trump and America's government, or, you know, who they elected as president. And then he said that going through now, fast forward into 2023, we're still in the throes of the coup. I mean, would you go so far as to say that this from the beginning was a coup attempt by Barack Obama?
You could call it that. I mean, an insurrection, really, yeah. When they were trying to thwart the will of the people. I believe we're at the late stages of a Marxist takeover, yeah, of our country. And we're in the last battles of this war. This is a war not being fought with bullets. But there is a war that's happening against our republic. And yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. I think there was a coup when they stole our election in, yeah, Arizona. There was a coup and a takeover of our state government. The people's will was taken from them when they rigged an election.
Right.
And they installed people in our state government who were not duly elected. And this is why I continue to fight every day. And I don't care what the fake news says about me. God knows who I am. I'm good with God. I'm good with my family and my loved ones. And I think when I meet people and have an opportunity to have a connection with people, they realize that, oh my goodness, everything the fake news has said about this woman is false. But they have to paint me in that light, because if they start telling the truth, their days are numbered. People will go, well, you guys have been lying. You guys have been part of the problem. And I believe that the truth will come out faster. The truth will eventually come out, though.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how quickly.
Yeah. This is why there's so many right now, not even just in the Biden family or the Obama family, but all across the communist spectrum, because they're all in on it. They've all been covering up the truth. They've all been spreading lies. And so, I mean, it's important for the regime media even to cover up the Biden family crimes, to cover up these bank transactions. Because they know once they're exposed, they're exposed. They're part of the problem. Going back to 2008 and Sean Hannity blowing the trumpet of alarm, my father wrote this in a June 26, 2008 coworker letter. He sent this to all the members and the coworkers of God's family. And he said, if poisonous ideas are given credibility by educational leaders who are mostly elite white Americans, it shouldn't surprise us that African-American leaders are receptive to them, too. I can easily understand why blacks would give credence to some very poisonous and false ideas if those ideas are coming out of our top universities. Mr. Armstrong, he once said, Herbert Armstrong, that our civilization is what the system of education makes it to be. He was, in our view, the most important and prominent educator of the 20th century. I'll just leave that out there. You can call up the 800 number, get Mystery of the Ages, get The Missing Dimension in Sex. Of course, there's tons of articles, booklets that also talk about education. In fact, we've got one called Education with Vision that pulls together a lot of quotes from Herbert Armstrong's writings, his teachings over the years. Again, the 800 number, you can see it there, 1-866-930-3024. But my father was saying in 2008, this presidential election, speaking of, you know, Obama going against John McCain, says this presidential election is different than any other. It is revealing a lot of racism in America. But here is the hidden danger. It's also inflaming more racism as it continues. After winning the Democratic nomination, Mr. Obama immediately appointed Howard Dean to continue in his office. It sounds like an appointment Jeremiah Wright would advise him to make. You can be sure that decision is going to nurture and advance racism in this country. That's what we were saying from the start. This man's not going to come in and heal the racial divide. He's going to blow it apart. It says here, Mr. Obama says he's going to bring the races together, but we're seeing actions that will do just the opposite. That's why we have to judge by fruits. I mean, the dear leader can sound very righteous. He can sound like an angel of light, but what are his actions? What did we see over the course of those 8 years? Remember all those attacks on police officers? And nobody cared about it. Nobody in Washington. They didn't care about an attack on a police officer until January 6, 2021. And in that case, they faked a lot of them. Or at least they made them out to be something they weren't. A police officer getting his head bashed in with a fire extinguisher never happened. They just lied about it. But back between 2009 and 2017, the shooting in Dallas, all of these officers just gunned down. I forget what year that was. But Obama's people were taking to the streets and they were murdering police officers. Glenn Beck, in July of 2008, that article or that coworker letter, that's from June of 2008. The next month, some of you might remember, Glenn Beck, he came out with his comment saying that Obama is a racist. He went against the grain. Everybody else was swooning.
Glenn Beck says he's a racist, and guess what Glenn Beck had to do shortly thereafter? He had to come out and apologize. I didn't mean to call him a racist. He's an angel of light. Oh, okay, okay. Get in lockstep with the regime. He is righteous. He is holy. He's an angel. He's going to heal the wounds. He's going to fix all the problems of the world. He's going to solve global warming. This is what they were saying. This coworker letter says, the news media and many educators agree with Howard Dean's view. These elites are the biggest reason this is developing into such an explosive issue. That's dangerously wrong and helps to inflame more racism. It says, if you're concerned about character and leadership in the presidential campaign, you had better bring up the Jeremiah Wright issue. That was another thing. See, people just brushed that under the rug. Here, this guy, this pastor, he's spewing racial animosity and hatred, hatred even for his country. And it went on for decades. And guess who faithfully went to that extreme, radical, communist pastor's church? That would be the dear leader. That pastor actually married Barack Obama and Michelle. Now, he had to come out in the campaign and put a little distance between himself and Jeremiah Wright. But it was too little too late, as far as we were concerned. And it was not nearly enough distance. He sat there for 2+ decades. It says here, if you sit in the congregation of a hateful racist for 20 years, have him marry you and baptize your children, isn't it likely that some of that racism will infect you? In Mr. Obama's case, it's much more so, since his father deserted him at the age of 2, then his mother deserted him in his high school years. This was a young, pliable man, desperately searching for a father figure, and he found one in Jeremiah Wright. How could that not adversely affect any human being? Barack Obama's father figure was Jeremiah Wright, and then the other one was Frank Marshall Davis. You look into the lives of those two, and well, just put 2 and 2 together. How about that? There's no evidence that Barack Obama ever challenged one of Jeremiah Wright's racist, hateful views. Not even one. See, look to the fruits. Did he ever renounce those beliefs, those teachings, that pastor? It says, if Mr. Obama really disagreed with Wright, how could he not speak up? Surely this is directly tied to the leadership potential of this man who would be president. How revealing all of this is. My father concludes here by saying, many people believe that Mr. Obama is going to greatly improve race relations, but our racial problems are going to rapidly get much worse. Now, was he right? Is that an accurate forecast? I mean, this letter, it's an awesome coworker letter, 15 years old. And it was brought on by some study, some meditation over prophecies in Ezekiel 4. Prophecies in Ezekiel 4 and 5 that speak to an explosion of violence. Civil war happening in our own nation. And you put that together with what my father's discussed more recently from Ezekiel 2 and specifically Ezekiel 3, a passage speaking about this book. I mean, it's just chronologically, it's the perfect flow. You get the whole story. This book, as you've heard me say so many times, it's critical to go through the material of this book so that you can understand where we are right now in Bible prophecy, and you can put it together, America Under Attack, you can put it together with the United States and Britain in prophecy. It really will give you the whole picture, the sweeping overview and the critical detail even to the communist takeover of the United States of America right now. It's like Carrie Lake says in her book. I mean, you hear globalism. A lot of people just hear that term and they're like, I don't know what that means. It's just, as she said in her book, it's just a fancy word for communism. They want to spread the communist ideology around the world. because they want control. The elites want control in every nation. But you see here in the United States what they're willing to do to maintain their grip on power. That's what it all comes down to. This book, again, I'll give you a quick quote from it. It says, we are in a bitterly weak time in America. Lawmakers, judges, bureaucrats, and others wielding power are shockingly corrupt. Our institutions are crumbling. Our constitutional form of government is almost completely destroyed. Corruption is so deep in our government and in our people that it's irreversible without God's help. It says here, the deep corruption involved here is now being exposed before our eyes. And it was prophesied in 2 Kings 14 and verse 26. You need to go look at that verse later. It says, this verse gives you an idea of the extent of the corruption in Washington. America's affliction is very bitter, and nobody with any power is helping. God's just going to save us temporarily at the hand of one man. He's going to work through one individual, and that individual has very little help. Very little help. He's being attacked from every angle. 4 indictments, 91 felony charges, centuries in prison. They want to destroy him. They want to destroy him. This is from the Associated Press. It says, Donald Trump will not face trial next month in Georgia after a judge ruled Thursday that the former president and 16 others accused of illegally trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election will be tried separately from 2 lawyers in the case. Lawyers Sidney Powell and Kenneth Cheesebarrow had filed demands for a speedy trial. And Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee set their trial date to begin October 23. Trump and other defendants had asked to be tried separately from Powell and Cheesebarrow, it says, and some saying they could not be ready by late October trial date. So the judge, as I said earlier in the show, he ruled in favor of Trump's team. Listen to this reaction from ABC, clip 7.
John, as you were watching, you were saying this is not a good day for the Fulton County DA.
Bad. I mean, Fannie Willis wasn't there, but you got to imagine, Diane, she's throwing things against the wall based on this hearing. So let's start where you just began. So first, the team for the federal the prosecutors down there had been arguing, keep everybody together, keep all 19, because really what we learned today, we're going to have a show this fall, and then we're going to have a repeat performance next spring, which makes it incredibly difficult for prosecutors. A great win for Donald Trump and others that did not want to be part of this speedy trial case. I can tell you, sitting here with you, just texting with some of the attorneys involved in the other defendants, celebrating. Yay, victory. This is everything they wanted, was to take more time and slow this down.
The thing of it is here, we know the indictments are just bogus charges on nothing. But together, and the shock value of those has worn off. Even the mugshot, that backfired. Now there's t-shirts and mugs all over the country with Donald Trump's mugshot on it. And people are celebrating it because he's making a stand. He's fighting back. But together with these bogus indictments, the other component that is absolutely essential to these communist accusers is speed. They've got to get it through the courts quick. They've got to get a conviction quick, because 2024 is looming large. The goal here is to stop Donald Trump from returning to the White House. So when a judge comes along and smacks them down, as that guy said there, this is bad for Fannie. This is a big problem for Fannie and Trump's people and others are celebrating. I've been spending some time this week too about another bogus sham of an accusing, you know, impeachment process in this case, that which is going on down in Texas, the impeachment proceeding for Ken Paxton. And the word is they're going to be coming out with a decision on that any time now, perhaps today. I think forget the guy who's presiding over the trial, but I believe he wants the politicians or the jury to stay there until they reach a verdict. So we'll see what comes out from that. But this at the Federalist, it says, a week and a half into the impeachment trial of Texas Attorney General Kim Paxton, the case against the conservative fighter is falling apart in spectacular fashion. You heard it here yesterday. They had the former assistant to the AG on the stand, basically saying, yeah, I came forward with accusations that there was a quid pro quo. Kim Paxton was giving out political favors, and he got a new countertop in return. And the guy admitted on the stand yesterday or the day before, yeah, that actually wasn't true. There was actually no evidence of that. A serious accusation. They took it to the FBI. And as I said yesterday, even the FBI didn't run with it. The Federalist says witness after witness, all called by the House Board of Managers, have testified under oath that they either have no direct evidence against the Attorney General or explained that the articles of impeachment were simply untrue. They get him, they go after him for a countertop. But then you've got all of this fighting, this resistance against Jim Comer and others to get at those bank records. If there's no wrongdoing there, you know, Joe Biden could put this to rest by saying, look, check out our bank accounts. We didn't do anything wrong. You know why they're hiding it. It says here, all this after Representative Andrew Murr, Republican, he's a good Bush Republican, promised the people of Texas that the trial in the Senate would be the place where the supposed evidence of horrific misdeed would be finally brought to light. Just wait till we get to the trial. You'll see all the evidence. This is an Adam Schiff wannabe. I've seen the evidence, and wait until this trial, and you're going to see it too. Didn't exactly pan out the way that he was hoping. It says, instead of convincing evidence showing that Paxton abused his office beyond a reasonable doubt, those watching the trial have been met with overwhelming evidence to the contrary. It says, the witnesses closest to Paxton, who had the most opportunity to see wrongdoing, have repeatedly testified under oath that they never saw the general do anything wrong or had no evidence to speak of that proved wrongdoing. Let me just read that last part again. They never saw the general do anything wrong or had any evidence to speak of that proved wrongdoing. Isn't that amazing? What a world we live in. You know, when Carrie Lake was here the other day, she talked about walking away from her career as a journalist, as a broadcaster, working for a corrupt media machine that she just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, that in itself just show God, as I said yesterday, he's trying to expose all of this to not so that we can have some kind of a revival, but so that we can see that the sickness is through and through and that there's no hope in man. I think it would be interesting to have a chat with Ken Paxton's attorney, this Busby guy that is a fantastic lawyer. But he's seeing all of these other lawyers, these other attorneys, that their goal is to try to get around the law. Their goal is to try to build a case on innuendo and lies and gossip and rumor. I don't know how long Busby's been in his profession or in his career, but I suspect that field, too, is quite a bit different than it was maybe 25, 30 years ago. The level of corruption, the level of evil and filth and lawbreaking that just goes on, even among the elites. I mean, look at the ones getting involved in the human trafficking. Hey, this is pretty lucrative. Well, come along. We'll send you up to America and we'll make millions in the process. God says the sickness, you see, is from head to toe. Read through the opening verses of the book of Isaiah. That's all I have time for, unfortunately. I could continue going on, but we're at the end of this show. We're at the end of this week. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week, some of you, and we'll see you again next time.